Hello, and welcome to OxTalk for Tuesday the 12th of March 2024. My name is Guy and I've compiled the edition for this week. News items have been selected from local Oxford papers by Marianne Moxon and Lisa Tom, and recorded at home by Marianne Moxon and Ralph Weirs. The USBs have been copied and distributed by Michelle Lawful. Sunrise today is at 6:25 a.m. and sunset is at 6:05 p.m. Before the news, we mark some events which happened on March the 12th in history. In 1455, the first record of Johannes Gutenberg's Bible in a letter dated this day by Ennio Silvio Piccolomini, referring to the Bible printed by Gutenberg a year before. In 1862, the 24th Grand National was run, with Harry Lamplugh winning aboard the Huntsman, becoming the first French-trained winner. This year also marked the only recorded human fatality in the history of the race, when jockey Joe Wynn was crushed by a riderless horse after falling at the fence before Beecher's Brook. In 1951, comic strip Dennis the Menace first appeared in the British comic magazine The Beano. In 1989, computer scientist Tim Berners-Lee submitted his first proposal for an information management system to his boss at CERN, the European Organisation for Nuclear Research, who found it vague but exciting. Development of these ideas eventually led to what we now know as the Internet. Born on this day in 1710 was Thomas Arne, British composer of Rule Britannia and A Hunting We Will Go, born in London. In 1922, Jack Kerouac was born, American novelist and poet of the Beat Generation, born in Lowell, Massachusetts. In 1946, Liza Minnelli, American singer and actress, was born in Hollywood, California, following her mother Judy Garland into show business. And deaths on this day. In 1563, John Bull, English composer, musician and organ builder, credited with composing Britain's national anthem, God Save the King or Queen, although this is disputed. In 1914, George Westinghouse died, American entrepreneur and engineer who was a pioneer of the electrical industry through his company Westinghouse Electric, developing technologies such as air brakes and the alternating current system. 2015 saw the death of Terry Pratchett, English author, humorist and satirist, best known for his 41 comic fantasy novels set on the Discworld, and for the apocalyptic comedy novel Good Omens, which he wrote with Neil Gaiman. Now, on to the news. We hope you enjoy our selection of articles for this week.
The only known existing fragment of wreckage from the last plane flown by pioneering British aviator Amy Johnson near Oxford in 1941 has been secured by a British war museum. The 83-year-old segment of the plane's parachute exit door, which the aviator would have used to leap from, was purchased by the Kent Battle of Britain Museum in Hawkinge for £3,673.60 at an auction held by Hanson's Auctioneers. Dave Brocklehurst, chairman, curator and volunteer at the museum, said, "We're delighted to secure this item. It will join the air transport auxiliary display at the museum. Amy was one of the original air transport girls. It's important to commemorate someone who lost her life in Herne Bay, preserve a piece of history and keep it in Kent. Ms. Johnson, the first woman to fly solo from London to Australia, lost her life in a plane crash in January 1941. It happened as Miss Johnson, who was 37 at the time, was piloting an Airspeed Oxford for the ATA from Prestwick to RAF Kidlington near Oxford. The aircraft reportedly ran out of fuel, forcing Miss Johnson to bail out before it crashed into the Thames estuary near Herne Bay. Her body was never found. The incident was initially blamed on poor weather conditions, but it was later claimed that the plane was downed by friendly fire."
More than 30,000 children were in contact with mental health services at Oxford Health last year, after a rise following the pandemic, new figures show. It comes as mental health charity Mind said record high demand for services in England after the pandemic is not being met with enough investment. NHS figures from the annual Mental Health Bulletin report show about 69,725 people were in contact with mental health services at Oxford Health in 2022-23. It is up from 66,815 people the year before and above the 59,935 who were in contact with services in 2019-20, before the pandemic. Across England, 1.1 million, 31%, of people in contact with mental health services last year were under 18 years of age. It included some 30,540 children at Oxford Health. The numbers are rounded and include those in contact with learning difficulties and autism services. Megan Pennell, Mind's Public Affairs and Campaigns Manager, said, "We know that the impact of the pandemic on the nation's mental health has been huge. It follows the national trend where the number of people accessing mental health services has hit a record high. Nearly 3.6 million people were in contact with services last year, up 24% from 2.9 million in 2019-20. She said fears about becoming ill, loneliness during lockdowns, and financial concerns were significant reasons the pandemic was difficult to cope with. Young people, racialized communities, and those living in poverty were disproportionately impacted," she added. Ms. Pennell said, "Despite the increased need, investment in mental health services has not risen in line with growing demand. Out-of-areas care, long waiting times, and people being turned away because they are not unwell enough are all commonplace. As a result, more and more people are only getting help once they reach crisis point." The figures also showed the proportion of England's population in contact with mental health services has jumped from 5.1% before the pandemic to 6.3% in 22-23. Susan Solomon, Senior Research Manager at the Mental Health Foundation, said government investment into mental health services is urgent to address the impact of the pandemic and now the cost of living crisis. She added, "Whilst there are things we can do to protect our own well-being, activities like physical activity, spending time in nature, and enjoying social connection, now more than ever we need action from the government that protects the mental health of people across the UK." A Department of Health and Social Care spokesperson said, "We want to ensure that everyone gets the mental health support they need, and spending on mental health has increased by more than £4.5 billion in cash terms since 2018-19. They added there was also an additional £500 million in 21-22 to support people whose mental health was most affected by the pandemic, including young people, frontline staff, and those with severe mental illness. They said, "The number of children and young people under 18 supported through NHS-funded mental health services has gone up by 31% since March 2021, and we recently announced extra funding for early support hubs to help children and young people receive better mental health support across the country. These hubs offer early interventions to improve well-being before their condition escalates further, which will also reduce pressure on NHS services."
Warring sides of a controversial traffic debate will now be able to discuss their differences through a new mediating service in Oxford. Oxfordshire County Council is endorsing the research project led by University of Oxford to provide a discussion space for those with opposing views on low-traffic neighbourhoods, LTNs. LTNs were introduced in East Oxford in May 2022 with the aim of making streets safer. but they have since proved controversial and been blamed for increasing congestion. The project will bring together two citizens from different sides of the LTN debate to enable each participant to listen to each other's point of view. Some have slammed the efforts as a pointless exercise, but others say they will be watching the results with interest. The exercise is being headed by qualified mediator Bex Sutton as part of a new community engagement method called Listening Exchanges. A research team from the Global Center on Healthcare and Urbanization has been awarded funding by the university to explore the idea. The pilot project will run from March to July 2024, and more detailed information is to be shared in the coming weeks.
An Oxford professor has written a crime thriller partly inspired by Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling. Roger Teichman is a philosophy lecturer at Oxford University's St. Hilda's College. When he is not teaching philosophy, he has been writing fiction, and his self-published novel Dog's Twilight is out now. It is largely set in Oxford and features a best-selling author called Tessa Wainwright, who ends up being blackmailed when she comes to stay at a hotel in the city. In the novel, one of the hotel waiters, Conrad Merivale, gets hold of personal documents from the author's laptop and starts to send her ransom notes. This sparks a train of events which spirals into violence and death. Mr. Teichman said he started out writing short stories before completing two novels. His second novel, The Echo Dies, could be published later this year, and the author is hoping the novels will get noticed by a publisher. There is one direct reference to the Harry Potter author in Dog's Twilight, but Mr. Teichman admitted he had the famous writer in mind when he created Tessa Wainwright. At one stage, Tessa receives an email from HarperCollins alerting her to an article in an American paper, comparing her approach to writing with J.K. Rowling's. J.K. Rowling is a hugely successful middle-aged writer of fantasy, and Tessa Wainwright is vaguely based on her, he said. Mr. Teichman, in an author's note, makes it clear that although some of the Oxford locations in the novel are real, the Oxford of Dog's Twilight is partly real, partly imaginary. He added, "The Marlborough Hotel, scene of more than one crime, does not exist, but the Randolph Hotel and Godstow Nunnery can be visited by any tourist, and other landmarks and public spaces will be familiar to many. I am happy to say I have never encountered, personally or professionally, any student resembling Conrad Merivale." Mr. Teichman was a student at Cambridge from 1982 to 1985, then completed a doctorate at Merton College, and has been a philosophy lecturer at St. Hilda's since 1997. He said, "I wanted to write something challenging, where the protagonist is a really nasty piece of work. It's perhaps more of a psychological thriller than a traditional crime novel. In some ways, the story is about love. Tessa Wainwright's love for her estranged son, and Meg's love for Conrad. She has picked the wrong guy completely." Mr. Teichman said, "Conrad was not based on any of his students, but might have been partly inspired by students he knew when he was at college. He is also a keen musician and has composed music for a chamber opera called A Practical Man. Dog's Twilight is published by Eucalyptus Titles."
An Oxfordshire firefighter will be running in the London Marathon in full fire kit to raise funds for a charity which supports the fire and rescue community. Stuart Tomlin, who serves at Rewley Road Fire Station, will participate in the race, which takes place on April 21st in aid of the firefighters' charity. He said, "In my short career, I have seen friends and colleagues suffer from injury, mental illness, and mental health, some of which are the effects of what they have exposed themselves to just to help someone in their greatest hour of need." The Firefighters' Charity is a fantastic organization that is there to help us in our hour of need. So I would like to show some support and help raise awareness by running this year's London Marathon in fire kit. He has set himself the target of raising $1,900 for the charity. The Firefighters' Charity offers specialist lifelong health and well-being support for the UK fire and rescue community and their families.
An Oxfordshire hospital has been slammed after an investigation into its midwifery unit, where medicine was found to be out of date, a new damning report has revealed. Horton General Hospital serves a catchment area of 170,000 people, but Care Quality Commission inspectors were far from impressed during their visit to the hospital's maternity unit on October the 23rd, 2023. The inspectors found multiple problems at the unit, which is overseen by Oxford University Hospital's NHS Foundation Trust, concluding that it requires improvement overall. The Horton midwifery-led unit was inspected last October. The latest report criticises the hospital in Oxford Road in Banbury on several areas, with a major problem being cleanliness, infection control and hygiene. Although staff kept the equipment and premises visibly clean, there was some confusion on how to correctly clean the birthing pool. Staff did not always follow the trust policy for the cleaning of the birthing pool, read the report. We saw the birthing pool was chipped, and staff told us it was possible to clean the pool effectively despite the chip, and pool decontamination guidelines were in place. However, there was some minor inconsistency around the correct procedure for decontamination of the birthing pool. Therefore, we cannot be assured that the birthing pool was being cleaned correctly. Further fears came from the unit's storage of medicine, with incorrect temperatures used, as well as some medicine being out of date. Medicines were not always stored within the required temperature range, added the report. Staff monitored the temperature of the room where most medicines were kept. However, they did not monitor the temperature of the corridor, although some medicine cupboards were in the corridor. We saw when the room temperature was out of range on October the 11th, 2023, their record stated hot in room, and no details of any action taken to resolve the issue. We saw fridge temperatures were checked daily, but recorded maximum and minimum temperatures, but not the actual temperature. Again, there was no evidence of action taken when the temperature was out of range on October the 5th, 2023. We also found out-of-date suppositories. This meant the service could not be assured that medicines were safe to use, as they had not been stored correctly. Elsewhere, there were also problems with equipment being out of date, which was seen as causing a potential risk to patients. Safety checks of equipment were not being carried out effectively, putting women and birthing people at risk of use of out-of-date equipment, added the report. The adult and neonatal resuscitation trolleys were sealed with tamper-proof tags. Checks of the resuscitation trolleys were recorded electronically. The system logged all equipment, identified when equipment was going out of date, and indicated when checks were required. However, the system had not identified a blood-giving set that expired in April 2023. The ambulance transfer bag, which should have been checked monthly, had not been checked since June 25, 2023. The bag should also have been sealed with a tamper-proof tag, which was not in place. In addition, there were out-of-date items in this bag. We found additional out-of-date items in the storeroom, room 6, and in the birthing pool. The oldest expiry date was August 2022. Millica Redfern, director of midwifery at OUH, said, "We are disappointed by this result, but we always welcome feedback on ways to improve our services, and we will work with staff, women and birthing people to make the improvements suggested. We have a great team at the Horton midwifery-led unit, as the inspectors found out when they visited." Professor Mahana Pandit, CEO at OUH, said, "As a learning organisation, we will improve services along the lines highlighted in the report, although I am disappointed for the staff who have been working so hard to make improvements already. I want to be very clear that our commitment to the Horton General Hospital is unwavering, And although this new rating is a setback, we are immensely proud of our local hospital, the services it provides, and our wonderful staff. Our plans for the Horton as a modern district general hospital, providing urgent and local care to the people of Banbury and surrounding areas, are set out in our clinical strategy.
Strong climate policies and electoral reform will be the price of Green Party support for any future government, the party's co-leaders have said. At a conference in London, co-leaders Carla Denyer and Adrian Ramsay said the Greens would look to quadruple the party's total number of MPs from 1 to 4. Mr. Ramsay said, nationally, if we're going to make that difference on tackling the cost of living crisis, on restoring local services, on protecting and restoring nature, and on the climate emergency, on all of these issues, we need Greens as part of that debate in Parliament. And we're going to be standing candidates right across the country. And the more Green votes and more Green seats that we get, the bigger impact we can have on political debate. Magdalen College Chapel was illuminated to raise awareness of rare diseases. The chapel was lit up for the Global Chain of Lights initiative, which took place on Rare Disease Day on Thursday, which fell on February 29th, which, only occurring in a leap year, is the rarest day of the year. The initiative aims to raise awareness of the 400 million people affected by rare diseases worldwide. A disease is classed as rare when it affects fewer than 1 in 2,000 people. It is estimated that there are more than 3.5 million people living with a rare condition in the UK. The Oxford Harrington Rare Disease Centre is a partnership between the University of Oxford and the Harrington Institute in Ohio, aimed at making breakthroughs to address the unmet need for rare disease treatments.
Greg Lay nodded in a late winner for Oxford United at home to Cheltenham Town to end the side's 4-game winless run and keep their playoff hopes ticking over. Josh Murphy gave United the lead in first half stoppage time when he arrowed in a super strike inside the penalty box. Will Ferry equalised with 10 minutes to go to set up a frantic end to the game, but Lee won it for the Ewes when he headed in Owen Dale's cross. Des Buckingham named a completely unchanged starting 11 and bench from the side which was unfortunate to lose at league leaders Portsmouth last weekend. Matty Taylor missed out on a potential homecoming for the visitors after suffering a hamstring injury in midweek. The Ewes took their time to get going in the first half, with only a concerted spell of pressure towards the end of the opening 45 minutes leading to clearer sights of goal and the opener. The half began with a low effort from Ruben Rodriguez, drifting wide from 25 yards, before a Marcus McGuane shot from a similar distance bent into the gloves of Robins goalkeeper Luke Southwood. At the other end, Liam Kinsella was teed up on the edge of the penalty area, however his shot was always rising. Rodriguez slipped into space down the right channel of the box and squared the ball for Dale, who blazed over from a tight angle with 27 minutes on the clock. Kinsella sent a shot into the arms of Jamie Cumming from a second ball at a corner before Mark Harris forced a low save out of Southwood with a 20-yard strike. From that point, United managed to end the final few minutes of the half on the front foot. Murphy let fly with a low 25-yard strike, which Southwood claimed with relative ease, while a powerful Cameron Brannigan free kick, won by Murphy, was fisted away by Northern Ireland international Southwood. 2 minutes into stoppage time, Brannigan warmed the gloves of Southwood with a stinging 25-yard strike prior to the Ewes finding the opening goal. Brannigan squared the ball for Murphy, who arrowed in a lovely strike for his third goal in 6 games. The second period followed a similar trend to the first half, although with far less in the way of efforts at goal. A good tackle from Elliot Moore stopped Kinsella making a way towards goal, while Murphy threatened on the left, with a final ball just letting him down at times. Buckingham's first switch came midway through the half, when Will Goodwin came on against his former side, in place of Harris, up front. The Robins had a sight of goal after Kinsella's committed challenge took the ball off the toe of Marcus McGuane, leading to substitute Jordan Thomas, formerly of Didcot Town and North Lee, to force a low save out of Cumming. The away side went one better with 10 minutes to go, though, when the ball fell to Ferry on the edge of the box, with his strike sneaking through the bodies and nestling in the bottom corner. United went straight up the other end in a search to reclaim their lead, with a Lee header from a Brannigan corner poured away by Southwood. Lee did then get himself on the score sheet when he arrived at the back post to nod in Dale's superb dink cross from the right-hand side byline and claim all 3 points for the Ewes.
Former Oxford United captain John Mouzino offered some glowing praise of the Oxford United after watching his Portsmouth team edge to 3 points at Fratton Park. Callum Lang opened the scoring for Pompey after just 2 minutes. However, Cameron Branagh brought United level from the penalty spot in 4 minutes later. Mark Harris and Josh Murphy both smacked efforts against the post for the Ewes, who were harshly punished when substitute Christian Sadie nudged Portsmouth back in front midway through the second half. Mouzino told the Portsmouth News, "It was two good teams going at it and playing good football."
A local home care provider has won the Outstanding Independent Home Care Provider Gold Award at a major UK award ceremony. Mumby's Live in Care recently received the honour, bagging one of the 4 overall achievement gold awards presented annually at the Home Care Awards. The awards aim to give recognition to dedicated and expert home care providers making significant contributions to improving standard levels in the sector. This year, Mumby's team, known for their exceptional and highly bespoke live-in care services, caught the eye of the evaluation panel. The winning team was presented with a trophy, which has now found its spot in Mumby's reception area, keeping company with other awards won previously. The award panel praised Mumby's passion and commitment, describing them as a truly outstanding independent home care provider. The panel said, "Its team passionately delivers person-centred, exceptional and highly bespoke live-in care expertise. Recognising the importance of outstanding care in everything they do, staff go the extra mile. This is showcased in their award-winning and outstanding CQC-rated care. Delivering best practices ensures clients are effectively made to feel safe and sincerely cared for in their own homes. The team is exceptionally well-led, empowering and inspiring an outstanding and compassionate care team." Mumby's Chief Operating Officer, Nancy Walters, said, "Our team carefully provides a holistic and personalised family care service that improves clients' quality of life in their home. I am over the moon that Mumby's are gold winners at this esteemed ceremony for the home care sector that brings extraordinary talent together. It is thanks to each and every member of our outstanding team who tirelessly work day in and day out to go the extra mile for our clients." The firm received high commendation for the Best Training and Development Expertise Award. According to the Home Care Awards panel, Mumby's Live in Care has an innovative and outstanding approach to staff training and development, where carers are optimally supported in their roles. The panel continued, "Mumby's training and development expertise is the backbone behind the company's achievements and its can-do culture." Monica Harris, training manager, said, "I am so incredibly proud to lead Mumby's training and development. Receiving high commendation recognition at these national awards for our work means so much. It is central that our employees enjoy excellent training and professional development to support their fulfilling roles and careers. In return, we safeguard outstanding personalised client care." The event was hosted by Samina Ali Khan, an ITV news presenter.
Oxford Welsh Male Voice Choir is staging a special concert as part of St. David's Day celebrations, including a world premiere. Choir members will gather for their concert on Saturday in Wesley Memorial Church in New Inn Hall Street, Oxford. They will perform Our Land of Song, a newly commissioned piece written by two members of the choir, which has been developed and rehearsed for almost a year. It celebrates Wales's long musical history from early times to the present day and combines the rich Welsh male choral tradition with a fresh modern interpretation. Choir Chairman Andy Jones said, "Something wonderful and unexpected happened as we were emerging out of the pandemic. A gradual decline in membership and general interest in the choir suddenly went into a sharp reversal. We quickly gained 20 new choristers, growing the choir from 40 to 60, larger than it's ever been in its history. That surge in membership has not stopped. In fact, a steady influx has continued, with on average a new member joining every 2 or 3 weeks. Furthermore, our age demographic is tumbling, bucking the national trend in male voice choir tradition. The choir's biggest project over the last year has been to commission, compose, and learn a new song that pays tribute to the beloved homeland of Wales. Our Land of Song has been written by two members of the choir, Mac Adams, composer, and Richard Jones, lyricist, and the choir's committee is beginning to hope it may become a new Welsh male voice choir classic. Both the composition and its title appeared to be something quite new and quite unique. The choir's musical director, Helen Swift, and its regular rehearsals are heard in Christchurch, Abingdon.
Oxfordshire farmers are critical in the plans for nature recovery. The leaders say farmers are in a critical position to reverse declines, as 74% of Oxfordshire's land area is farmland. Jane Manley, chair of the Oxfordshire Environment Board and CEO of Earth Trust, said, "We cannot reach our targets without shifting to sustainable, nature-friendly farming practices. But innovations across Oxfordshire show the potential for land-based sectors to deliver net zero, biodiversity and natural solutions. Our farmers are pioneering low-carbon techniques, ecosystem restoration and climate resilience. With the right support, they can lead the transition towards a sustainable rural economy built on healthy landscapes." The Oxfordshire Environment Board is encouraging people to sign an e-petition calling for ambitious nature policy in time for the 2024 elections. Helen Marshall, Director of Campaign to Protect Rural England Oxfordshire, added, "We must demonstrate the political will exists to implement these solutions. Help us reach 100,000 signatures so decision makers take notice and make the natural world investments our county's farmers desperately need." Ben Heaven-Taylor, CEO of Trust for Oxfordshire's Environment, said, "Farmers need robust investment and good public policies consistently applied to help them restore nature on their land and tradition to nature-friendly farming." Camilla Burrow, Chief Executive of Wild Oxfordshire, added, "Farmers care deeply about the landscapes they work and the biodiversity of their land, but they can't shift to more sustainable practices without strong public support."
Oxford United's planning application for a new stadium has been validated by Charwell District Council. The latest steps mean a raft of planning documents have been made available via the local authority's online planning portal. Noted alongside the documents is a target decision date for the application being set at June 21st. The U's announced at the end of last month that a full planning application had been submitted to the District Council for the construction of a 16,000 capacity ground at the Triangle south of Kidlington roundabout. A covering letter for the application states, "Oxford United's current home, the Kassam Stadium, is unsustainable in a number of ways and is remote from public transport. With the current agreement for the Kassam Stadium coming to an end in 2026, there is an urgent need to redevelop a new stadium in order to protect the future existence of one of the oldest football clubs in the UK. Shuttle bus services will operate from the park and ride sites on match days, subject to ticket sales. Oxford United currently operates supporter shuttle services from Abingdon and Whitney to the Kasam Stadium. These will continue at the new site. The application also states, the proposed application will retain the woodland to the south of the site, whilst also looking to protect and enhance other vegetated buffers where possible. Up to 50 demonstrators have rallied against a change in rules which will make it harder to secure visas to settle in Britain. The demonstrators, including trade unionists and councillors, marched from Mansell Way in Oxford to a rally in Bond Square. They heard from county workers who expressed their fears about how the increased income requirements for visas will impact their lives. The threshold will rise from $18,600 for a family visa to $29,000 this spring and to $38,700 by early 2025. The increase is above the average UK working wage, which would prevent many couples from being able to live together in the UK. National General Secretary of the Prospect Union, Mike Clancy, urged the government to scrap the new threshold.
Lena Moran, MP, has been named among the top 100 women in Westminster. Oxford West and Abingdon's MP said it is truly a privilege, as she was named among the top 100 women in Westminster. Lena Moran, who represents the Liberal Democrats, has been recognised by The House magazine in their annual Women in Westminster, the 100 for 2024. The list honours influential and inspirational women spanning various sectors, including politics, media, entertainment, and activism. Ms. Moran said, "I am extremely proud and honoured to have been named as part of 2024 Women in Westminster, the 100. To be recognised alongside so many impressive women who excel in their field within Westminster is truly a privilege. I would like to thank the House magazine and the Board of Patrons for my inclusion. I would also like to thank my team, the organisations who I work with and who provide me with such great support, and the people of my constituency in Oxford West and Abingdon. I am especially proud to be recognised for my work on the conflict in Gaza. I will continue to be a voice for peace and humanity in this most difficult time." As well as the 100, six women were specially highlighted for their contributions to their sectors. Among them were Green Party MP for Brighton Pavilion Caroline Lucas, LBC's political editor Natasha Clark, and Cindy Butts, chair of the Independent Commission for Equity in Cricket. Other members of the 100 included Love Island celebrities, parliamentarians, civil servants, journalists and activists.
An Oxfordshire electric car sharing trial has been extended for another 6 months due to its popularity. Electric cars are rented on an hourly or daily basis from council-owned car parks in Oxford, Bicester, Banbury, Kidlington, Ensham, Henley, Wallingford, Abingdon and Whitney. Oxfordshire County Council spearheaded the trial in collaboration with Oxford City Council and other district council to assess the demand for such a service. The reported success of the venture has seen more than 500 individuals signing up as members and the vehicles hired more than 2,000 times since the inception of the scheme in April last year. A popular car club vehicle can replace an average of 20 individually owned cars, replacing petrol and diesel engines, thereby reducing environmental impact. The continuation of the scheme hinges upon sustained use of EVs by motorists. If the public response remains positive, current sites could transition into permanent locations for EV car clubs, with the possibility of further implementation across diverse locations. The clubs offer residents the chance to experience EVs without ownership, making them more affordable for those who only drive periodically. Participants can rent EVs from £5.95 per hour with a 12p per electric mile surcharge. Information about the closest car club, including promotional offers, can be found on the Council's website. Commuters using an Oxford bus scheme can look forward to an improved app ticket range, but will also see price rises. Oxford Smart Zone is a scheme involving Oxford Bus Company, Stagecoach, Thames Travel, and Arriva, offering multi-operator ticketing on bus routes operating mainly in the Oxford City area. Its 13-week tickets will be accessible via the Oxford Bus and Stagecoach apps from March 17th. At the same time, season ticket prices will be increased. The increases will be greater for smart cards than smartphone apps due to increased costs in operating the smart card scheme. Customers are promised improved real-time tracking of buses and advanced journey planning tools. The national £2 fare cap will continue to exist until further notification, and customers can visit the bus operators' websites for additional details.
Former Formula One world champion Nigel Mansell will be coming to Wantage as he returns to the Williams factory for a charity event. Mansell is set to appear at an audience with Nigel Mansell CBE at the Williams HQ in Wantage on Wednesday. The proceeds from the event will go towards UK Youth, a charity that empowers youngsters in the UK and of which the 1992 Formula One world champion is president. Mansell said, "I am really excited to be returning to the factory home of Williams, and I'm looking forward to an evening sharing stories of Formula One, my racing career and beyond, all in aid of UK Youth, a great cause which is close to my heart. It will truly be a unique night with no holes barred, as I can relax in familiar surroundings and share stories never heard before." Mansell bagged 31 Grand Prix wins during his career, out of which 28 were with Williams and 3 with Ferrari. He won the British Grand Prix 4 times and was also crowned the FIA Formula One Drivers' Champion with Williams in 1992. Mansell won the IndyCar Championship title in 1993, was named BBC Sports Personality of the Year twice, and made it into the International Motorsports Hall of Fame in 2005 and the Motorsports Hall of Fame in America in 2006. His association with UK Youth dates back to the 90s, when the charity ran a programme to educate youngsters about cars, including safe driving practices. After becoming president in 1999, Mansell has been promoting the charity, primarily by making efforts to raise funds. UK Youth's chief executive officer, Ndidi Okezie, said, "We are so grateful to Nigel and to Williams for agreeing to host this wonderful event, which promises to be an incredibly special evening." Nigel's passion for youth work is unwavering, and his support for UK Youth over his many years as president has been wonderful to see. He shares UK Youth's vision for every young person to not only thrive but actively contribute to their communities, and during our time working together, he has become a great friend. The event at the Williams Racing Experience Centre will have space for 200 guests, with individual tickets priced at £150. On arrival, guests will be greeted with drinks and canapés and will soak in the history of Williams Racing. They will get a chance to hear Nigel Mansell's stories from his career. Fans are urged to act quickly, as more than a third of the tickets are already sold.
Three major conservation projects are underway at one of the largest villas of Roman Britain. Set on the banks of the Evenlode, the luxurious courtyard villa at North Lee near Whitney had 60 rooms and included 3 bath suites, 16 rooms with mosaic floors, and 11 rooms which had underfloor heating. It is particularly notable for its mosaic floor dating to the early 4th century, which was lifted and relaid in 1929. The villa, which was abandoned in the 5th century, came with a large agricultural estate with housing for farm workers and possibly slaves. Life there was very comfortable, with access to the best local agricultural products and imported luxuries from sophisticated nearby towns such as Cirencester. When the Roman villa was first excavated in 1813 by architect Henry Hakewell, parts of the mosaic floor were stolen by souvenir hunters within a week. Hakewell wrote in a guide which was rediscovered in Blenheim Palace archive in 2021. The pavement was entire except a small part. But such was the eager curiosity of country people who on the Sunday following the discovery flocked in crowds to the spot that before any precautions could be adopted, the pavement was much injured. To protect the mosaic, a thatched building was built by the landowner, the Duke of Marlborough. In the early 20th century, a corrugated iron roof was added, which is being renewed to ensure the important mosaic is protected. And a small cottage formerly used by a custodian, which may date from around the same time as the mosaic building, is getting a makeover to become a store and shelter for volunteers working at the site. The second phase of works, which weather depending is due to start in late spring, will involve repairing the masonry to keep the ruins in a stable condition.
Construction work to deliver new community facilities, shops and hundreds of affordable homes has begun across Blackbird Leas. The project will provide 294 new homes across two different sites planned in two stages. The development will improve the district centre with new public facilities including shops, a purpose-built community centre, public open spaces, as well as new cycling infrastructure. Councillor Linda Smith, Cabinet Member for Housing, Oxford City Council, said, "I am delighted that work is now underway on the new district centre for Blackbird Leas. This is a major milestone in the long history of this project. We could not have reached this point without the support and involvement of local residents, and though many in the local community are as excited as I am about this development, which will breathe new life into the centre of Blackbird Leas. The redevelopment initiative is led by Housing Association Peabody and development partner Oxford City Council. Preparation work for the scheme began in January under the leadership of the Hill Group, the project's contractor. The glow tree from the old community centre has been moved to storage and is due for reinstatement post-redevelopment completion. The rejuvenated district centre will have 210 homes, of which 174 houses, 83%, have been allocated for social or affordable rents, while 36 homes, 17%, are being planned for shared ownership. Knights Road will offer a further 84 shared ownership residences. A collaboration spanning over 4 years between Peabody, the council and local communities has sought to understand public views on the plan. The partners have implemented large-scale community engagement schemes with numerous monthly events, collecting more than 1,500 pieces of community feedback for the broader regeneration project, which received its planning consent in August 2023. To communicate the community's needs to the design team, a community review panel has been established. The panel is composed of residents from the Leas community. Soon, Peabody and Oxford City Council plan to release further information about how locals can secure employment opportunities on the Blackbird Leas project, learn construction skills, and participate in the artwork on the construction hoarding. Simon Barry, Managing Director, Development at Peabody, said, "Oxford is a world-class city, but it's also one of the most expensive places to live outside of London, and this makes the delivery of affordable homes challenging. Together with Oxford City Council, we've been working closely with the community since 2019. It's great to see the hard work paying off and the plans coming together."
A leisure destination in Banbury is celebrating Mother's Day with a range of activities and pop-ups. Lock 29's offerings will include a child-targeted jam jar flower workshop provided by the team at Flora and Fauna. This hands-on experience is an opportunity for children to create heartfelt, unique gifts for mothers, grandmothers, or any special woman in their lives. Lock 29 also plans to offer free face painting in the afternoon, promising fun for all ages. The pop-up shops, part of the weekend's festivities, will be offering an array of Mother's Day gifts. Visitors will be able to explore ethical clothing at Flower Funky, artful confections by Annabelle's Patisserie, bespoke flower arrangements from Flora and Fauna Florals, and unique finds at Just Love It and home pieces from Miranda Thomas Design.
Six Oxford University researchers have presented their biosciences research at Parliament. The team, comprising Jennifer Clara Herman, Fenglin Louis, Grace Mika Letter-Ribel, Anna Rose and Chloe Tubman, showcased their findings to politicians and a panel of expert judges as part of STEM, Science, Technology, Engineering and Maths, for Britain. Ms. Clara Herman's research focuses on gene regulation during the cell cycle, while Mr. Liu is developing large AI models to combat future pandemics. Ms. Mika's work delves into how PVA bolsters blood stem cell production. Ms. Riebel's studies revolve around the regeneration of damaged human hearts using a simulation study. Ms. Rose explores novel cancer treatments for children, and Chloe investigates zebrafish heart regeneration at the molecular level. The work was judged against dozens of other scientists' research in a nationwide competition. Stephen Metcalf, MP, chairman of the Parliamentary and Scientific Committee, said, "This annual competition is an important date in the parliamentary calendar because it gives MPs an opportunity to speak to a wide range of the country's best young researchers. These early career engineers, mathematicians and scientists are the architects of our future, and STEM for Britain is politicians' best opportunity to meet them and understand their work." The university research team's work forms part of the biosciences competition session, ending with a gold, silver and bronze award ceremony. A panel of leading academics will judge the entries, and cash prizes are up for grabs, with the gold recipient also receiving a medal.
Didcot Railway Centre has been celebrating the 100th birthday of a locomotive which returned to the tracks after a 20-year restoration project. Constructed at Swindon Works in 1924, number 4079 Pendennis Castle outperformed larger locomotives during her exchange trials with the London and North Eastern Railway. After 40 years of express passenger services, Pendennis Castle was to be scrapped in 1964 until book publisher Mike Higson stepped in and bought the locomotive, having her overhauled at Swindon. In May 1977, locomotives set off for new adventures in Australia and remained there until 1994 under the care of the Pilbara Railways Historical Society. After being stored and out of use, the decision was made that the best future for the number 4079 Pendennis Castle was to return to the UK, and she was offered to the Great Western Society at the start of 2000 to be restored at Didcot Railway Centre. The Society was able to raise £80,000 for her voyage back home.
A local performing arts school had 188 students take part in a recent showcase for two performances of When Dreams Become Reality at the Amy Theatre. Jenny Featherstone, the school's principal and director, said, "This weekend saw a showcase full of talent, performing dance numbers in jazz, acrobats, commercial and ballet. The show was a sellout. We also had 8 adults with learning disabilities in the show. We believe in giving all children and young adults opportunities. We also were fundraising for our England squad, who will be competing in the biggest dance competition in the world in Prague against 56 other countries in June. The school raised over £3,000 in its raffle, which received over £2,000 worth of prizes donated from the local community." Miss Featherstone expressed her warmest thanks.
Victims of the coronavirus pandemic, including the nearly 300 people who died in Oxford, were remembered in a day of reflection on Sunday. This month marks 4 years since the first COVID-19 death and lockdown. It comes as charities representing those who have lost loved ones to the virus and those still struggling with long COVID have called on the government for more support. It meant The area had a coronavirus death rate of 194 per 100,000 people, below England's overall death rate. Rivka Gottlieb, spokesperson for COVID-19 bereaved families for Justice UK, said over 23,600 people have now died from COVID-19, often in awful circumstances, with their loved ones unable to be at their side as they passed away. The awful truth is that very little has changed since the pandemic first hit the UK, and if a new disease struck tomorrow, we would be just as poorly prepared and likely to repeat many of the same mistakes. Ahead of the next election, she said, all political parties must adopt the COVID inquiry's recommendations so the horrors of the pandemic are not repeated. Looking back at the COVID-19 infection, daily coronavirus cases peaked across the UK on January 4th, 2022, where 275,600 cases were recorded. In Oxford, they peaked when 11,095 cases were recorded throughout January 2022. This is compared to just 47 cases in November 2023, the final full month with reporting on positive COVID tests. But despite the drop in positive tests, people are still dealing with the impact of infection. The most recent NHS GP survey found 5% of patients across England said they were experiencing long COVID in 2023. Voters in West Oxfordshire are being encouraged to prepare for the upcoming District Council and Police Crime Commissioner elections. Voters are advised to ensure they are registered, have applied for postal voting if required, and have the necessary identification ready ahead of May 2nd. Those looking to vote must be over the age of 18 and registered in their residing area. Some eligible voters who are not registered, perhaps due to recent relocation or voting for the first time, are reminded that they will not be able to cast a vote if not registered. People can register to vote online via the government website. Registered voters will receive their poll cards at the end of March, and provided the card is accurate, there is no need to reapply. The final date to register for voting is April 16th. Voting by post may be an appealing option for residents seeking to participate in the local elections from their home. Residents can apply to receive their vote by post before the application cutoff at 5 p.m. on April 17th via the government website. A national insurance number is mandatory for the application, and existing postal vote arrangement holders need not reapply. Another voting alternative is appointing a proxy, who upon appointment will need to present their own valid ID when voting on behalf of the elector. Proxy voting applications must be received by 5 p.m. on April 24th, and the application process can be carried out on the government website. Voters are also encouraged to ensure that they possess an accepted photographic identification.
That was the last of our articles for this week. If you have any comments or feedback about Oxtalk, you can telephone Margaret on 07496 062280. That's 07496 062280. Please remember to leave your name and a contact number with your message. Alternatively, you can send an email to mail@oxtalk.org.uk. This edition and those from previous weeks are available on our website, www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can either listen directly or download the audio file. You can also listen on an Alexa device through the Talking Newspapers skill. If you need advice on this, please phone the main Oxtalk number. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next Tuesday with more news, so until then, we hope you have a good week.